Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
Time to talk Buffalo Bills here on the Franchise Focus Podcast at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley with you. We will talk about those Buffalo Bills. They've made a few moves this offseason. What are they going to look to do in the draft? What are the fantasy implications? Who have they let go? Oh, by the way, they have a new head coach there as well. So a lot of things to talk about when we get into the Buffalo Bills today on this latest edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. And if you want to get your questions in, we're going to have some questions answered on this podcast. If you want to ask questions for future podcasts or respond to these podcasts or have questions after these podcasts, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and tweet them to us at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley, and at Fantasy Guru Site, and we'll certainly bring them up and talk about them, and we'll get into them because we want to hear from you guys. It's fun to be interactive with these podcasts. We'll get into all of that, but first, we got to talk about FanDuel.com because the MLB season is officially underway, and it's more fun than ever to play fantasy baseball with FanDuel. The leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts, those entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait all season long to win a league. You play today and you win tonight. There is no season-long commitment and there's no upfront fees. And that's what I like about it, Joe, is you want to play for a dollar tonight? Go ahead, play for a dollar tonight. You want to play for a little more? You can play for a little more. You want to play for a week straight? Go ahead. You want to put in six lineups? Go ahead. You want to take a week off? You can do that too.
And yeah, if you're going on vacation, it's summertime. You don't have to worry about setting your lineup. You don't need to give somebody your Yahoo login so you can reorganize your lineup, do some add and drops. You can just take the week off. Go enjoy yourself. Go use the winnings that you've earned. Go sit on a beach somewhere. And then when you come back, time to win some more.
Eric Kafner from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So guys, usually when we get into these podcasts, and if you've been joining us, we appreciate that, but usually when we start these, we talk about the quarterback right away, and we're going to do that, but there's other things to get into because the Bills made a change at the top, and they were forced to make a change at the top. New Year's Eve, Doug Marrone says, oh, I get $4 million, I don't have to coach you next year? See you later, Buffalo Bills. That's what he did. So what do the Bills have to do? They have to find a new coach, and they just look a couple states. They look a state down and go, oh, Rex, you're with us now. Rex Ryan, fired by the Jets, becomes the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, brings Greg Roman in to run the offense. We know Rex's defense usually does quite well, and he wants to be the number one defense, and he's going to start guys with a lot of nice pieces. However, one piece he will not have, although the Bills didn't have this player last year, is Kiko Alonso, because the Bills shipped Kiko Alonso coming off a torn ACL to the Eagles, and they get back LeSean McCoy in exchange. Big move there. They then trade for Matt Cassel. So you have your veteran quarterback there in front of EJ Manuel. So there's a lot of moves there right off the bat that the Eagles, Bills made, obviously, with the Eagles. They also signed Percy Harvin. So there's a lot of changes being made here by Rex Ryan and company. Scott Chandler is now gone. There's just a small piece. It takes a little Charles Clay takes over, though,
big
in that spot.
Money.
So right now, as it stands, those are just the new moves. So we'll get into that, but that's just the start here. But Rex Ryan, let's just talk about this real quick, taking over this team. Look, Rex has had some big-time success with maybe a lack of talent on offense in previous years. You look at the Jets, and then that really bit him in the ass, where his defenses couldn't make up for the issues that they had on offense at the end of his Jets tenure. Now he brings in LeSean McCoy here, guys, and we know this should be a really good defensive football team. any Rex Ryan team with, you know, a defense is going to be good. But he has a lot of talent here to work with.
And this is an excellent defense last year with Doug Marrone and Jim Schwartz there. I see no reason to believe it's not going to be an excellent defense once again. This actually makes the Buffalo Bills, believe it or not, from my perspective, one of the most interesting teams in all of football. Because this is a team that had a below-average offense last year. Pretty bad offense. And was still percentage points away from a playoff spot. And a team that might have been able to make a little bit of noise in the playoffs because they could frankly stop teams from scoring. This is a team that beat the Green Bay Packers. This was not a scrub team
last year. Late in the year, too.
And especially at home, a very difficult team to play. So the Buffalo Bills, though, were lacking one thing. They were lacking a quarterback. Well, guess what? It's so easy to say that. And it's been one of my big pet peeves from this offseason. Oh, they don't have a quarterback. Well, no crap. All right? You don't think the Buffalo Bills know that? You don't think Rex Ryan knows that? Guess how many teams in the NFL don't have quarterbacks? You could argue, if you're a glass half-empty type of person, that more than half the teams in the NFL don't have a quarterback. But you still got to try to win, especially when you have this defense. When you've got Mario Williams, who's probably exiting his prime, Stephon Gilmore entering his prime, Leotis McKelvin coming off a nice couple years. When you've got this defense, you've got to try to win football games. And that's why, Tom, I really can't argue with anything the Buffalo Bills did this offseason.
It wasn't like there were options out there at quarterback either. They have to work with what they have, what their options are. They don't even have a first-round pick because they made that kind of a stupid trade.
I love Sammy Watkins.
I'd like Sammy Watkins. Stupid trade. It was a stupid trade. Now they don't have a first-round pick. So you got to play with the cards you're dealt. So they tried to make the most of it. You go out and get a guy like LeSean McCoy. Percy Harvin, he's up and down, but he's still a playmaker.
He's your, fourth, fifth option on offense?
Yeah, behind Charles Clay now, too.
Who's number one on this offense, top option? It's LeSean McCoy. You don't make that trade. You don't go sign Jerome Felton, nor do you hire Rex Ryan if you don't want the focus of your offense to be on the run game.
If we're talking,
Greg Roman as well.
And before we get into deeper with that, with Matt Cassel here, this is a problem that the Bills have had the last few seasons, is they haven't had that veteran guy all offseason and then into the regular season. They had the problem with Cobb a couple years ago when he gets the concussion, that freak thing. EJ Manuel has to get procedure on his knee, has to end up being the starter, gets hurt, comes back, gets hurt again. Last year, they never signed anybody until Kyle Orton signed, a week before the season started? Yeah. Now they have a guy in Matt Cassel who is here with the new offense in February, in March, or March, I guess you would say. He's there now. He's getting the new offense now. They're learning together in the same quarterback room once the offseason gets going and their workouts. And by the way, they're underway this past week. They're working together now. He's going to go into the season, barring something crazy, as the starter with Manuel being able to learn. And maybe we do eventually see Manuel.
Guess what? And if EJ Manuel does something none of us expects, picks up the offense, and they say, holy crap, this guy's starting to put it together. And he plays, by the way, Greg Roman's offense, which is really tenable for a good, young, running quarterback, as we saw with Colin Kaepernick at his best, then guess what? The Buffalo Bills have that option to go with Manuel. They're just not tied to it. And say what you want about Matt Cassel. Look, do I think the guy's a stud quarterback? Absolutely not. But there's a couple things here that I want to point out. Number one, he's kind of used to being jerked around.
Yes.
So, if EJ Manuel comes out and sets the world on fire in the preseason and Matt Cassel goes to the bench, he's not going to be a guy who's going to complain about it.
He knows exactly what he's here to do.
Exactly. And now I think he expects to be the starter. And we expect him to be the
starter. Oh, by the way, he was acquired with a 6th-round pick for a 5th and a 7th. So they didn't give up a ton to get Cassel. So, you know what? If it is Manuel week one, okay, fine. And you still have a capable backup in Matt Cassel. And when you go to Cassel, or if it is Manuel, or if we see both at various points during the season, you still need a ground game. And they now have that with LeSean McCoy. And let's talk about McCoy here and how he now looks for fantasy after what happened last season with Philadelphia. What happens with Fred Jackson now? Because there are certainly some questions to kind of figure out here. First of all, Joe, let's talk about McCoy and what happened with him last year. because obviously Chip Kelly was not happy with a guy who was an MVP candidate for a couple of years now. And I know he was third in rushing last year, but for fantasy, he frustrated. If you watched him, he was a frustrating player to watch.
He was not the same player. And look, he finished on a really high note. And that's why I'm saying, look, I wrote a column that essentially was irrelevant within a week, given all the moves that the Eagles made. But I was thinking the Eagles didn't think LeSean McCoy had cratered, but they wanted to get off the train before he cratered. And that said, he finished the season pretty strongly. He can handle a huge workload. I think LeSean McCoy is an interesting fit in Buffalo. And the reason being, this was a team that was ranked, according to Pro Football Focus, last in the NFL in run blocking last year. And LeSean McCoy got off to a bad start in Philly last year when they had all the injuries and the Lane Johnson suspension up front because he wasn't trusting his blocking. I think he's a guy who needs to trust his blocking. You look at LeSean McCoy and you think of him as a guy who is a creator. But he wasn't really doing that last year. His best games were when he had holes for him and then he was able to get into the open field where he could use that elite elusiveness. That's one thing that worries about me about McCoy here in Buffalo. Number two, McCoy was a terrible receiver last year. I mean, this guy was significantly below average in that department, and he was somebody who was fantastic as a receiver for pretty much the entirety of his career prior to that. So I'm concerned about McCoy. Is this just an outlier season, and the Bills are getting the McCoy that we became used to seeing?
And then he started losing snaps at the goal line last year. He wasn't scoring touchdowns, which is a big thing. He scored close to 20 touchdowns 2 years ago. I mean, the Buffalo has a guy, Fred Jackson, he's older, but he's good on third downs. He catches the ball, and he's good at the goal line. Those were two areas where LeSean McCoy really struggled last year.
With the groin issues and Jackson missed time, 66 catches on 88 targets, and as you said, a capable guy. Yep. In any facet of the game, he's going to be 34 in February, but there's still a spot here for Fred Jackson. I don't think there's really a spot for Bryce Brown. C.J. Spiller, we know, is gone. Anthony Dixon was just in there because they had no other choice, but what does that do for McCoy's fantasy value? If you have a guy like Jackson there, Joe, the issues that you brought up with the run blocking, you know, is McCoy a first-round pick?
A lot of people think he is.
I don't think he is. And do you have the MFL data? If you have an idea where he's going?
I will get you the MFL data.
Now, he would be a guy that I think he'd have a pretty good idea of where he's going to go in redrafts, even with MFL data, because he is a talented player and the upside's worth it.
Okay. Oh, at the running back position, LeSean McCoy is the sixth guy off the board. At the running back position, average between the 10th and 11th pick, which means he's going between late first, early second round, which I would think is where I anticipated him going. He's going here based on volume, guys. But I think there are questions. And while I'm going to talk a lot about the Buffalo Bills and how I understand their philosophy from this offseason, I think McCoy is a curious fit. I don't think he's a great fit with that team as currently constructed. Now, for fantasy, the guy ended up, you said he was third in rushing last year. His dip in fantasy production was because of the lack of touchdowns, as Tom brought up, and the lack of receiving, as I brought up.
Sure.
And when you add Darren Sproles and you have Chris Polk, those things are tend to happen.
But are those going to change in Buffalo?
Yeah. With Fred Jackson, who, you know, there was talk, they're going to have to cut Fred Jackson now. By the way, they also still have Bryce Brown and Booby Dixon.
I know. That was
Bryce Brown about. Doesn't do anything for me.
Dixon was only pressed into action because of the injuries to Spiller and Fred
Jackson. But he's a guy
who
can play in short yardage.
Sure.
Is he going to score a bunch of touchdowns? That's a fair question. So, LeSean McCoy is going ahead of Marshawn Lynch. And we discussed this on the Seattle podcast. If you got Marshawn Lynch in the second round last year, you could thank us because we were driving the he's not a first round pick train. We effed up on that one. I will tell you this year, I'm all aboard the get off the boat a year too early rather than a year too late, but I am without a doubt taking Marshawn Lynch ahead of LeSean McCoy this year. No question in my mind.
Yeah, I don't see McCoy in any of my teams this year.
Not off the draft.
I mean, auction could be a different story based on the number.
Auction is right. If he falls, maybe you're in a draft with a bunch of sharp guys who don't want to touch him. He becomes a mid-second round pick.
I was going to say, about mid-second round is where I'd start to feel comfortable, but I just don't see that happening.
He's going to get the ball a lot.
Yes, that's one thing we can say.
With Rex Ryan and Greg Roman.
They're going to run the ball, so he's going to have the volume. But that's the only reason you really like him that much is because of volume.
And look, I understand what they're doing. They want to build a strong run game. They got Jerome Felton, by the way, who blocked for Adrian Peterson in his 2,000-yard season. And everything that the Bills are doing suggests they want to help out the quarterback as much as possible, whether that's Castle or Manuel. And look, say what you want about Matt Castle. Again, I'll bring that up. The guy is one of the best 30 quarterbacks in the NFL. If you want to laugh at that, go find me 30 better. You just can't do it. And there's 32 teams in the NFL. It might be bad for the Bills that Matt Castle's their starter, but they have to work with this. And that's why they're going to give McCoy the ball. So I think LeSean McCoy is very fair as a second-round pick based off of perceived volume, but you brought up the Fred Jackson issue. I brought up the issue that he wasn't really all that good last year. And
in terms of McCoy, you're saying.
In terms of McCoy and what we typically expect from him. That's why I'm skeptical, especially because this offensive line was so bad last year. They brought in, what's Incognito going to give them? He's probably going to start for them.
He's a veteran body that has experience, and I get why you take a look, but the reason he was out of football was not just because of his off-field stuff. He was an average replaceable player, and he wasn't worth the trouble. So, you know what, if it works, okay, fine, but he's a replaceable part if he doesn't.
Here's what the Bills are hoping. Number one, Chantrell Henderson continues to progress. He was a guy who had major off-field questions. He was a seventh-round pick for them last year. Got some playing time. Cyrus Kwanjo was a second-round pick for them last year. He struggled. Can Cordy Glenn take another step? He's going into his fourth season. They even drafted Cyril Richardson last year. There's some young pieces to work with here. I think it's reasonable for the Bills and Rex Ryan and Greg Roman to expect that their line's going to get better.
Doesn't this offense also have like the feeling of it could blow up at some point this season? You got a quarterback that you took in the first round. If he's rides the bench some more, you got Percy Harvin, who's had done a ton of problems. Incognito, who's a ton
you're
of problems.
You're saying blow up in a bad way.
Yes, do you really want to invest heavily on anybody in this offense? They kind of scare me a little bit.
And that's the thing. We don't know where. I remember coming into last year saying EJ Manuel has an incomplete grade. EJ Manuel still has an incomplete grade.
2 years.
We don't know what we have in this guy right now.
The Buffalo Bills saw him in practice and didn't want him to start last
Correct.
Year.
Correct.
That's all you need to know. Now, is Rex going to give him another shot? Possibly. Rex has exhibited patience with young quarterbacks. With Mark Sanchez, with Geno Smith. Then things fell off last year when he benched Geno for Michael Vick. But I think Rex knew it was over. Here's the thing about this offense, which really intrigues me. Look at the assets they have. McCoy, okay. Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins, Percy Harvin, Charles Clay. What do you have here with these guys? These are after-the-catch guys.
They're all pretty versatile. They can play all over the field.
Yeah. They're after-the-catch. Whether it's Castle or Manuel, the Buffalo Bills are building an offense here where it is designed for either the quarterback to A, hand the ball off, or two, dump it off in the 5 to 8 yard intermediate range and let the playmaker make a play. You're going to see Percy Harvin making a big play at some point this year. Will it be consistent? I'm not too sure about that. Sammy Watkins, when he was coming out of Clemson, I had never seen a guy play wide receiver the way Sammy Watkins played wide receiver. He played receiver like a power back. He wanted to run people over at the wide receiver position. Charles Clay has played fullback, H-back, and tight end in his career. This is a guy used to moving around, exploiting mismatches. They want a quarterback who's going to make a quick decision and get it to the guy who's in the best position to make a play. And if everybody stays healthy, I could see this working such that the Buffalo Bills score just enough that this defense carries them to a 10-6 season in a playoff spot.
To your point, Tom, though, a lot has to go right, I think, for the Bills. Yep. Now, they won 9 games last year with Manuel starting early, Orton taking over and doing a pretty good job, and then falling off. This should have been a playoff team last year. Absolutely should have been a playoff team. I still think they have all the talent that
Remember,
they need.
Except, Orton didn't play well last year.
That's what
year.
I mean. At the end, he did not play well. At the beginning, he was certainly an upgrade over Manuel.
It's fair to expect Castle is going to be a little better than Orton.
I hope so. What I only worry about with Castle, and we've seen this before, is that he tends to crumble under pressure. Yeah. If you put the heat on him, if the O-line does not give him the protection, I would have some concerns. Going back to the McCoy point, though, and when you have a Rex Ryan-led team and Greg Roman running the show, you're going to run the ball much. You don't want Castle throwing the ball 30-plus times. I think you're going to try to avoid that. Can they avoid that? And if they do find that balance, what does it mean for Sammy Watkins' fantasy value? Because in a class last year of rookies that was the best we've ever seen, he had a really good season, but he didn't have Odell Beckham's season. He didn't even have Mike Evans' season last year. He was a really good receiver. 65, 982, 6 touchdowns, 127 targets, a 51.2% catch rate.
That's
not all on him.
That's what we want to see rise.
But that's got to
exactly
go
exactly what they're thinking with bringing in Matt Castle.
Groin and rib, and he's had an offseason procedure already for some of those issues. Should be okay. So he battled through some quarterback issues. He battled through some rookie drop issues. He battled through some injury issues last year for a pretty solid season. The number 32 wide receiver. I think we expect that to go up. But
that would have been a great year for lot of different rookie seasons, but not compared to last year's class with Odell
to
and
jump
Beck.
Into the top 20, though. I'm not ready to go that far, and I don't put it on him. I put it on what the philosophy of this offense is now and the fact that I'm not pumped about his quarterback situation. Is he good enough to get into the top 20?
No, he's good enough.
No, I'm saying, is he good enough right now where if he stays healthy and the drop issues are improved, that with Castle and Manuel in this offense, kind of similar to how we talked about AJ Green in the Bengals offense, where are there going to be a ton of opportunities? Is this a spot for Sammy Watkins with how everything is kind of laid out now? When you add a Charles Clay, you add a Percy Harvin, that he can get into the top 20 this year. I'm not going to go that far.
I think he can, but I would probably bank on him finishing that 20 to 30 range. That's. I'm curious where his ADP, where the board of people.
But won't
think
it be? It'll be different in an MFL 10 because of his upside.
Well, he's the number 16 wide receiver being drafted, right behind Kelvin Benjamin, right ahead of Brandon Cooks, right ahead of Jordan Matthews, and also Jeremy Maclin's there. But you also have to take into account that a lot of this data does come from before free agency.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maclin has been plummeting down that list, as he should, and we'll talk about that when we get to the Chiefs.
That's just too steep of a price to pay for talent.
Sammy Watkins only 7 games with double-digit fantasy points last year. Not all on him. He had some struggles. But I think the Bills are looking at that, especially like the catch rate. 51.2. This is not Kelvin Benjamin. This isn't a guy who you expect to make your contested catches and make a big play like that and then go to the ground. Sammy Watkins is a guy, you need the ball in his hands where he can make a play after the catch, run a guy over, maybe make a guy miss in the open field. That's what his game is. I think that's their plan for him. 16 at receiver is a little rich for me, but I do expect him to be better than 32.
How much is the Percy Harvin factor now?
Well, that
makes us think that he's not going to finish in the top 20. They kind of do a lot of similar things, and that kind of scares me a little bit.
That brings us to one of our tweets here, and you can always tweet us using the hashtag FranchiseFocus. This is coming from @_FAaron, and he says, pretty simply here, Percy, just Percy, is he going to break my fantasy? He's going to break my fantasy heart again, isn't he? Now,
I'd say yes.
I say don't go in with high expectations because he's joining a new team and he wants to be more of a traditional wide receiver. Percy Harvin is at his best when you use him in a variety of ways. He's a very unique player, and when he was a fantasy juggernaut in Minnesota when he was finally healthy, it's because he did so many different things.
You won't break your heart if you have no expectations. If you make an OK Cupid profile and you're like, oh, this guy seems pretty nice, let's go try this out.
He has a job.
Let's go try this out for a night and see where it goes. If you don't propose, you probably will be okay. Here, MFL 10 data, he's the number 44 receiver coming off the board. 107.8, that's a 9th, 10th round pick.
Which is fine.
That's fine for me.
And especially for him in that format where you know he could bust off that random
thing. Yeah,
he did it a couple
guy.
Times with the Jets last year.
If you draft him as a 4th or 5th receiver, I don't really think he's going to have an opportunity to break your heart.
But that's where he should be. Yeah. If you're taking him to be in your lineup day one as a number three, you're asking for trouble.
And now, if he blows up in the preseason,
you know, if he's good, he'll get there. He should be a number three wide receiver for fantasy, if not better, but I'm not expecting that. Don't go in with those expectations. If you haven't learned at this point with Percy Harvin, I don't know when you're going to learn. So, Aaron, to you, keep your expectations low, and there's no heart to break. That's what I think it would come down to. Now, finally, guys, Charles Clay here, coming over from Miami, and they spent a lot of money and got into a bidding war of some sorts with that transition tag with Miami. I liked Charles Clay 2 years ago. I liked the situation he was in. I didn't have big expectations for him in 2014. He became, once again, kind of the guy that Ryan Tannehill could always fall back on, could always look to in the red zone, could always look to get that catch to move the chains. But I thought he was more of Ryan Tannehill's best friend than a great player, and I think that's why so many targets and looks came his way. I'm not expecting this guy to dynamically change the Bills' offense over a Scott Chandler. They're different players. He's more of an H-back. He's versatile. We've seen him get carries at the goal line. He's built differently. But, guys, am I wrong here about Charles Clay kind of getting overrated by the money he got from the Buffalo Bills?
The money is ridiculous. I think Clay's a better player than you think he is.
Okay. For fantasy or reality?
Well, reality.
Here's the thing. I think he's probably somebody who can put up starting fantasy numbers.
Did at the end of last year.
I will tell you this. The general populace is not treating him like the Bills did. Take a guess where he's going off the board at tight end.
15,
16?
I
was going to
say 16.
20.
Wow.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
All day I'll take him there, yep, because I think there's some PPR upside. He is going after Josh Hill. Now, I know he's getting blown through the roof here because Jimmy Graham's gone, and he's made some plays, but he's right ahead of him. Jordan Reed, who has played about 3 NFL games, is right ahead of Charles Clay. Kyle Rudolph's ahead of him, another guy who can't stay on the field.
By the way, Clay's had his own issues in the last couple seasons, too.
He has been a problem. Yep. Now, he has played more than some of these guys. And then it gets to the point where you see reasonable names going ahead of Clay. Jason Witten, Eric Ebron. I think people are betting on
that. That's the format. But I get that. I get that. I do understand that somewhat.
Fleener, I actually just took Fleener in an NFL 10.
That's fine.
I paired him with Zach Ertz, and I'm thinking, I should get a couple big games out of there. So I think Charles Clay, where he's going, by the way, 150th pick, we're talking comfortably double-digit round. That's like a 13th round pick. I think that's very fair and very interesting.
An interesting thing with Clay, he was only playing 76% of the snaps last year. That's with Deonson. You don't see tight ends play less than 90. So there's and the Bills have nothing.
Unless you're Jimmy Graham.
Unless you're Jimmy Graham. And the Bills have nothing at tight end. So he's going to stay on the field, who knows, maybe an extra 200 snaps. That's more catches in the long run.
Is he more important to the Bills than he was to the Dolphins? I don't know if that really changes all that much.
The problem with the Bills is, and it's the same reason why I'm optimistic on this team's chances, if they can just stay on schedule offensively, is they have a lot of weapons. The bad news is they have a lot of weapons. And the quarterback is Matt Cassel.
Yes.
And while, like I just said, I sang the ballad of Matt Cassel, I think for the position the Bills were in, I don't think they could have done a whole lot better. Look at what Philadelphia gave up for Sam Bradford. It was no secret the Bills were interested in Bradford, but the Bills didn't have the ammunition to get Bradford because they didn't have a Nick Foles to trade away. So, given the position they were in, they couldn't do a whole lot better, but I'm not telling you that this guy is going to mix it around like Peyton Manning. Right. It just will not happen.
Now, as we look at their draft and what they could possibly look at, I remember they did sign Jerry Hughes to a new deal. They gave him the money. He deserved that money. Wide receiver looks like it's pretty much taken care of with Woods and Hogan and obviously Harvin. Offense, for the most part, guys, pretty much taken care of. Do they maybe look at running back?
Certainly
O-line, I think, is a spot for
it. I doubt it. Look, they don't have a first-round pick.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Where are they looking?
By the way, they don't have a fifth-round rounder.
Offensive line.
O-line.
Well, that was the
We're
one area.
We're producing this live, guys. I'm going to look up the Buffalo Bills draft picks.
They lost the fifth rounder.
They have a second and the 50th, third at 81, fifth, sixth, sixth, and the seventh.
I mean,
so they don't have much. They don't have much room to do much.
The draft picks in the deal for Castle is that they got a sixth rounder. They gave up a fifth rounder this year. They acquired a seventh rounder in the 2016 draft. So O-line, I think, is top priority here for the Buffalo Bills. We've talked about the quarterback position. Look, they're still trying to figure out what they have in E.J. Manuel, who was a first-round pick a couple years ago.
They're not going to pick early again,
though. Right. If that's not happening. You know, running back, maybe late. Maybe they look at something late here.
They did trade Kiko.
Right.
And they might want to add to that linebacker.
I think linebacker could be a spot for him. You're always
looking
for Rex.
He loves defensive linemen, so he's going to want another body there.
He's thinking best player on the board defense, probably. Yeah. I think O-line, and he'll just keep grabbing the best defensive players on the board.
And like said, they have nothing at tight end after Clay.
That's true. They could look there, too. So, an exciting draft for the Bills? Probably not, especially without they're sitting out the first night, as we know. So, that pretty much wraps it up here for the Buffalo Bills podcast. Pretty interesting team here, as is the entire AFC East, as you'll hear in our other podcasts, because that is actually just the first, second of our four AFC teams will hit. We hit the Patriots, obviously, to kick things off. Not all that exciting there for them, but the Bills are certainly intriguing. The Dolphins will be intriguing, and we'll get into the Jets in a couple of weeks as well, as we look forward and ahead. But you don't have to look ahead to the MLB season anymore because it's already underway, and you want to get involved with FanDuel.com. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1, and you can play today and win tonight. You don't have to wait all season long, and there's no upfront fees. And I think that's the kind of the fun part of it, Tom, is you can jump in when you want, you can get out. You can jump in, you can get out. If you like a matchup, you want to ride it, go ahead. You want to ride a guy who's kind of a hot hand.
Yeah, this is a fun year to jump in. Fun time to jump in real early. If you like a team or you like a few players that you want to ride early before the market starts to correct itself, now's the time to do it.
Eric Caffrey from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. This is what you want to do. You go to FanDuel.com, and you click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. The special offer is for new users, and here it is. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So we'll keep hitting these franchise-focused podcasts as we come to the end of the second week. Still two more weeks to go as we're around the halfway point. We'll hit that in our third week of these. Check out all of our franchise-focused podcasts. As I said, you can tweet us your questions, responses, whatever you want, maybe stuff you want to hear on future podcasts. Tweet them to us. Use that hashtag, FranchiseFocus, at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMadCamp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Bali. Check out the pre-draft rookie report, the post-free agency podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell. How about the pre-draft podcast as well with John Hansen and Greg Cosell? You can get on the site right now for $24.95. That's $5 off the regular price. Early bird special. And we do that because we have content going up. Not only these podcasts, but everything I just mentioned and a whole lot more. So it's the offseason in the NFL, but we never stop. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.